بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، my brothers and sisters, there is a dua in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He taught us to ask this dua, which is in Surah Al Imran. Allah said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ, which means, our Rabb, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. So we are not talking about somebody who is already misguided, who is not entered Islam. No, we are talking about Muslims. And we are talking about people who are Muslims, who have been guided, who are doing everything correctly, and suddenly you find one day that they have gone somewhere else. We have seen these things happening in our own experience also. Somebody who is on the correct aqidah, his amal is correct, he is praying, he is doing all he is supposed to do, and suddenly some waswasa of shaitan, something happens, and next thing you know, this person has left salah, he has left his good deeds, and he's gone off somewhere else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. O our Rabb, do not allow our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, and grant us your rahmah from yourself. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ, indeed you are the You are the greatest giver. Aap sabse badi ata karne wale hain. Now, it's very important for us to reflect on the purpose of this dua. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us to make this dua? Because the qalb is, the word by itself, the meaning itself is something which changes. So, one of the duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَبَّنَا ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَىٰ تَعَتِكَ, رَبَّنَا ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَىٰ دِينِكَ. So, two du'as, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, make our qulub, make our hearts firm. ثَبِّتْ, ثَابِتْ karna, ثَابِتْ قَدَمْ هُنَا. Make our qulub, make our hearts firm on your ta'at, on your obedience. وَثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَىٰ دِينِكَ, and make our hearts firm on the deen, on your deen. It's very important to continuously take stock of ourselves, of our iman, of our amal, and above all, of our niyyah. Because iman will be there, amal will be there, but then the niyat will deviate. The niyat will go off into showing off, into riya, into pleasing others. And then the amal, because of this, the amal, the action will become useless, will become null and void. The example that the scholars give is of a person who is carrying cash, who is carrying a lot of money in his pocket, and if he has to pass through a crowded area, maybe a railway station, maybe some, you know, fair or something like this, very thickly crowded area, people are close to him, and he knows that there are chances of pickpockets being there among that crowd, then how will he deal with this money? He will, one hand, he will probably have this hand on his pocket. He will continuously keep checking to see whether his pocket has been picked or not. Otherwise, he has the wealth, but if he doesn't take care of this wealth, if he does not monitor this wealth, if he is not conscious of what he has, then the chances are that he will lose it. The wealth of iman is far, far, far superior and far higher and far more valuable than any worldly wealth or any worldly example that we can give. Because everything in this world is replaceable. Everything is replaceable, right? But if we leave this world without iman, then that's it. There is no replacement of that. So therefore, it is very important for us to keep on monitoring ourselves and keep on monitoring our niyyah. Now, what must we do if we find that there is a deviation, if we find that there is some likelihood of something happening? I remember reading a note, a question and answer thing. Somebody asked Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah fill his qabr with noor and be pleased with him and forgive his sins. Somebody asked him this question. He said, my recitation is very good. I have learned the Quran. I recite it well. So people ask me to lead salah. So he says that when I start leading salah, I have this intention of reading maybe 30 ayat or something. Maybe he's reading Salatul Fajr or something. He says, my intention is to read maybe 30 ayat. And while I am reading, when I have recited 3-4 ayat, 5 ayat, I get this thought that I am reciting to please the people. I am reciting to show off. It is not for the sake of Allah. So I get very perturbed and I get very anxious and disturbed. So I shorten my recitation. Instead of reciting 30 ayat, maybe I will finish with 10, maybe I will finish with 7 or 8, and I go into ruku. But this is bothering me, and what shall I do? So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen gave him a beautiful reply. He said, when you get this waswasa, when you get this thought in your mind, and this is a waswasa, this is a thought from shaitan, to say that you are showing off. He said, immediately, internally, in your heart, make istighfar. Say, astaghfirullah al-azim. Say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-azim. And he said, then, not only continue to recite, but he said, recite even more than what you thought of reciting. So if you decided to, if you had originally thought you will recite 20 ayat or 30 ayat, he said, recite 40. He says, the reason is, shaitan is giving this waswasa to you, because the people who are praying behind you, they are having khushu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran is beautiful for them, they are concentrating in salah because of your recitation. Shaitan wants to spoil all of this, so he puts this waswasa in your heart to say that your recitation is for showing off. Now, two things to learn in this. One is that when this waswasa comes, should you simply discard it and say, no, this is not true? Say, no. Don't simply discard it. Make istighfar. But wallah alam, this is a waswasa, but maybe this will also happen. Right? Right now it is not happening, but maybe it will happen. Maybe we are human. So naturally there is always the tendency that you want somebody to like what you are doing, you want somebody to say something good about it and so on. So this, nobody is free from this. So therefore, make istighfar. Immediately make istighfar in your heart, say astaghfirullah al-azim, say a'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-rajim, seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, and then beat the shaitan by reciting even more. Many people ask this question. They say, sometimes people ask me, I have this opportunity of going and living in Canada or Australia or America or somewhere, and the environment is very bad and it is full of fitna and this and that. So should I go or should I not go? So the question I ask them is, where did Adam alayhi salam get misguided? In Jannat or Jahannam? Where was he? He was in Jannah. What is a better environment than Jannah? There is no other. Jannah is Jannah. But there, he got misguided because Shaitan was there and he listened to Shaitan. Right? He and our mother, Hawa alayhi salam. Islam does not put the blame on the woman. Islam does not say that the Hawa alayhi salam misguided Adam alayhi salam. This is Christian theology. Islam says both of them are equally responsible. That is why when they made the dua also, they said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Both of us. We were misguided. We did wrong. If you do not forgive us, Adam alayhi salam did not make dua on behalf of his wife. And she didn't make dua on behalf of him together. So where did Adam alayhi salam get waswasa? Where did he went? Where did Shaitan misguide him? In Jannah. It is not the environment which is important. What is important is within ourselves. If I am not guarding myself against Shaitan, Shaitan will misguide me inside the Kaaba. Right? There is no guarantee. I mean, alhamdulillah, we have all done Hajj and many Umrahs and so on and so forth. Can we say with absolute certainty that when I am praying in the Mataf, when I am praying right in front of the Kaaba, when I am praying inside the Hatim, that my Salah is completely 100%, you know, without wasawis, 100% khushu? Do we say this? No. So Shaitan is right there. You are making Tawaf, he is making Tawaf with you. So the issue is, it's not the environment. It is what we do within ourselves. What? How is my heart? How is my own personal life? How is my home environment? If your home environment is good, then nothing can misguide you and nothing can misguide your children, or the chances are much less, because when they come into their home from the outside environment, they've got something to compare with. There is a difference between what they see outside and what they see in the home. They see people cursing outside, they do not hear a single bad word, no bad language in the house. They see people behaving in a certain way outside, but when they come home, their parents and others in the home, they don't behave in that way. They see people doing things, eating things and so on and so forth outside. In the home, it's different. So when the children see this difference, automatically it strikes them that this is the standard. This is what is correct. What is outside is not correct. So they will not get misguided by what's happening outside. But if there is no difference, they hear some language, they see some things outside, they come home, there is the same thing. There is no difference. Same language, same stuff, the TV is playing, all kinds of haram on the TV, the same thing is happening in the house. Then where is the question? Where is the question of the environment misguiding anybody? We are misguiding ourselves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this dua. Rabbana, la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. O Allah, do not allow our qulub to be misguided after you have guided them. So I remind myself and you, to sit in a state of contentment with regard to our hidayah, with regard to our guidance, with regard to this deen, is a very dangerous thing to do. The time to be contented will be when we are lying in our qabr, inshaAllah. If we die with iman, if we die with amal salih, we die with tawbah wal istighfar, then inshaAllah al-Mustan, we have died well. And then there is no misguidance thereafter. There is no shaitan in the qabr. There is no misguidance, no wasafis in the qabr. Once we have passed that stage, then alhamdulillah, we are safe. But until we get to that stage, we have to be very, very, very careful. There is a famous quote of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu, he said, the only good people are those who are dead. He said, only the dead are good. Meaning that, if they died on iman, alhamdulillah, they are safe. Nobody else is safe. As long as you are alive, you are not safe. So therefore, we have to continuously keep making this dua, continuously keep monitoring ourselves, our amal, our speech, our action, our beliefs, to make sure that we do not have any belief that is different from what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed. We do not have any action which is different from what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And we do not say anything which is different from what he used to speak, because that is the standard. The gold standard is the Nabi alayhi salam himself and his Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. We ask Allah to keep us on the path of guidance, to keep us on the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, and to take us in that stage and to resurrect us with him and them. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.